Welcome to the Envision Together, Going to Our Next Level of Best podcast. I'm your host, Pamela Mashana. Join me on this bi-weekly journey of empowerment, where you'll hear hands-on advice from lifestyle experts, educators, authors, spiritual leaders, and many more who will share tips on how to triumph personally, professionally, and spiritually. We explore timely topics such as overcoming anxiety and fear, educating the reluctant student, cultivating lasting relationships, and strengthening our faith. My hope is that the insights offered on the show will help us envision ourselves using our unique gifts and talents on greater levels for greater purposes. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Envision Together, Going to Our Next Level Best. We have a wonderful guest for you today. His name is Peyton Menzenmeyer. And we've already been having a little delightful pre-chat, but now you get to enjoy all the wonderful energy I've already started to enjoy. And with no further ado, let's go ahead and have Peyton introduce himself in his own way.
Awesome. Thank you, Pamela, so much for having me on. So my name is Peyton, and if you don't know me, which most people won't, I am I'm a Christian pastor here in Vero Beach, Florida, which is a small coastal town right where the tropics begin in Florida. I'm also a clinical therapist. I am now I'm able to claim the author of a new book, which is, I'm sure we'll get into that story. Yeah. And then I'm a husband. I'm a father of two sweet little boys. And I love my life. I love everything God has blessed me with.
That's wonderful. I love that introduction, but I got to tell you, it just jumped in my head. How old are your two boys?
So I have a two and a half year old, and then my youngest one just turned one. And my youngest one just learned how to climb up on the coffee table. So, because he watches his big brother do it. He gets up on there and watches TV, or he'll sit down on it. And he, last night, learned that he can also do it too. So they are literally like two little monkeys in a zoo bouncing off the furniture. And it's a handful.
I'm glad I asked you. That's such a fun age. And I'm reflecting on when my daughter was that little. And you know, every stage is so beautiful and so wonderful. I'm glad that fairly early on, I got the idea that I should cherish every moment, because, you know, my daughter's older now and I miss those little tiny feet that I would be willing to kiss. I'm not willing to kiss them now.
No, you don't want to kiss them now. Yeah, see, I am there as well. I love having them. Speaking of feet, though, my youngest one, he's starting to walk, and he'll walk right up to your feet that are at the end of your chair, and he'll just chomp down on them right now. So I'm waiting for that phase to move on, but I love the little feet padding on the ground and the, you know, the stand up wobble, and my oldest one starting to ask good questions. And I'm getting another master's in like the human psyche, you know, social work. And it's fun taking my study and being able to apply it to my kids of like, okay, you're going through this developmental process. Here's what's going on in your mind. And here's how I can help, you know, design and shape you the right way. So it's a fun little journey that I'm on with them.
That's wonderful. Okay. And you also made me think of, as you describe your sons, my brother and I, we're a year and 9 months apart. He passed away, but I had some reflection of, I used to try to copy everything he did. So yes. I can relate to that too. But let's jump into more questions. So your personal journey is incredibly inspiring. Can you share some pivotal moments or decisions that helped you overcome your challenging upbringing and then find your path to becoming a Christian pastor and author?
Yeah, so my family was loosely Christian. My family split whenever I was a baby. So mom and dad, different place. And whenever I came to a pivotal time in my life, 10 years old, my mom actually went to prison for 5 years of it. And so then I was kind of forced to move my dad, who is not a Christian, So I would say I wasn't raised in any kind of Christian household. And I had one of those like typical Disney evil stepmothers that didn't want me to do certain things and kind of treated me a little rough. And so it was kind of a Cinderella story in that way. And I early on found I had to be self-sufficient. I actually would wake up. I used to be on the cross country team, and I would wake up at 5 a.m. to pre-run, go to school and do my exercise, and then after school do the same routine. Because it was all about like, what am I have to do it on my own. I have to be able to, pull myself up because it doesn't really seem like anybody around me wants to support me.
You learned
And
really
then
young to be an overachiever.
I did. And it was all about, if you want these results, you have to put in the work on your own. No one else, nobody else can do that work for you. There's certain things that you have to be able to do yourself if you want to see the results of it. And, be cross country running was one of those things. And so when my mom was finally released and able to come back into the free world, I made a decision with my dad. I called him and I was visiting her and I said, and she actually introduced me to Jesus, a relationship to him. She found him in prison, which she would say that's why she went to find Jesus. So whenever I was introduced on a weekend, I gave my life to Jesus over a weekend. I called my dad and was like, "Hey, I'm not coming home. I'm changing. I'm turning a leaf," which he was very much against. And I kind of just paved a new path for myself, and just I haven't looked back since.
Very interesting story there. And yeah, you've had a lot of twists and turns in life. I love, though, that your mother turned such a what we would typically call a negative experience into such a positive. And I found in my life that that's what God does for me too. You're all going to go through the good and the bad, the ups and the downs, but how you come out of it, if you start seeing that even what we call quote unquote bad was a gift, a learning experience. If you can glean what is possible to glean from it, it actually turns into a positive that could help your life or someone else's. And
And that's the example, or that's what it said in Genesis chapter 50. Joseph, after all of this upside downness with his brother selling him into slavery and a drought and famines, all this stuff, at the end of it, he's able to look at his brothers and say, "Hey, what you planned for evil, God worked out for good." And so, which tells me every moment, regardless if it's on the surface good or bad, every moment has the opportunity to be one or the other. So you have a choice of what you turn it into be, but every moment has a choice. It's not solely good, it's not solely bad.
So now, why are you making me think of the scripture that says, choose life or death? Choose. And sometimes we take it so literally, like, literally, I'm going to physically die, or literally, I'm going to physically live. And there may be some application there as well, but it's the spiritual part. And when I say spiritual, I don't just mean, are you saved? Are you a believer or not a believer? The choices you're making all the time is going to be life or death to you. So choose life.
And what you said is good because, we often think of it like, oh, I will immediately die. Like I'm just going to drop dead. But really what it's talking about is a corrosion effect. So like as you choose these decisions that are not towards God's design, you actually begin like, I live in Florida and everything rusts here. You leave something out and it's metal. You come back the next day, it's basically rusted over because we have so much salt and stuff and it just tears things down. That's what happens to your body and your soul. And so think, if you don't work out, your body will start to rust. It's gonna callous over. Or, going with where I spend a lot of my time and attention with my writing is with our mindset and our perspective of life. If we don't take care of those things, they will eventually die by corrosion.
I love that analogy too. It's like a slow death. I think we could keep talking all day about any topic you bring up. So
Yeah, we could just keep going. I love this. This is my favorite thing to
yeah,
talk
you keep
about.
saying things that I could keep adding to. You're making me think other things. I think I'm kind of caught up in this feedback loop that we got to move to our next question or we'll
Yeah.
Here all
Well,
day.
and I know your next question is going to be about, because you sent me these in advance, and it goes with what we're talking about chasing happiness. I'm all about optimizing our life in a certain way that you are, again, making the right decision and choices because your life is not about being happy. It's about living with purpose. And that purpose is the choice that you're making. It's whenever we are living for happiness that we are actually compromising what we ultimately want. So by being happy now, I might choose, for example, a very basic example is happiness will be eating that donut right there. I love donuts. I love the jelly on the inside and the powder up top. That's going to bring me ultimate happiness in this moment, but it's not actually going to lead me to what I want. Instead, I need purpose. So my purpose might be I'm choosing health, or I'm choosing self-discipline, or I'm choosing to say no because it might be tempting my friend who's on a diet. Whatever it is, I'm making a choice to deny myself happiness so that I can move towards what I ultimately want, which I call purpose. That is your God design. You were designed for a purpose. We just need help finding it, and that's not always in our happiness.
That's good. Happy doesn't necessarily mean it's the best thing for you.
Right. It's not. No.
You have a
And most
happy
of the time,
moment of
it's
eating
not.
that donut and pay for it later.
Yeah. And the world is going to try to sell you on happiness. It's going to try to, and it's a momentary happiness. And it's absolutely true. Like everything they say is absolutely true. It will give you happiness.
But not
But if,
necessarily joy,
yeah, joy,
which is
fulfillment,
long lasting.
purpose, it's not going to lead you to meaning. It's going to, and those take time and discipline and sacrifice. But a lot of people at the beginning of that journey, they don't know how to get that. It's like because we've trained ourselves and a world is catering to that immediate fulfillment, that immediate happiness. And so whenever we're faced with the decision, the choice, and it's a hard choice, we will often choose the easy path.
This is good, but I do want to back up just a little bit. Part of my question is about you referring to yourself as a passionate life optimization enthusiast. I do want you to kind of unpack that for us.
Yeah, so I like talking about life optimization because, as I mentioned before, I believe everybody was designed for something great. And I don't mean like your inspirational posters where it's like, you were designed for something great, go and find it. It's like, no, you were actually designed. Like, God, you're made in God's image as a Christian pastor. And as I study the mind, as I'm talking about my other degree as a clinical therapist, as I'm studying the mind, I'm starting to see, like, no, that's actually true. Like, the way our mind operates and how our mindset plays into our actions, it all goes towards, like, you are made for something awesome, like to be something amazing. The human body is amazing, but we have dampered it. Like, we do not optimize. We will instead fall into default mode or coasting mode. And we're just made for so much more than that. And so, my ultimate life goal, as a pastor, as a clinical therapist, as a husband or a father or a friend, is to help others maximize, optimize their life. And it's not as hard or scary as we often make it. There's actually small steps we can make that will cascade over time, but we got to take that first step. And part of that is just choosing, I want to actually live the design life that was created for me, not fall into default mode.
Yeah, I love it. And I like that we well, rather you talked about how it's just little baby steps. Sometimes we want things, certainly I believe in miracles, but most of the time it's not a miracle, it's a slow moving miracle. It's one little baby step at a time, and it makes me think of that saying, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time?
One bite at a time.
And I think the sooner we embrace that journey, that it's step by step and that it's not going to magically fall from the sky, and there's some work you have to do, there's some adjustments you have to make, life gets better
Yeah.
because
No, you.
you're being realistic for one.
Yeah, no, you're hitting it right. I love what you just said. It's not going to fall from the sky. I actually use that often of I say your purpose is not hiding under a rock waiting to be found. your sense of purpose is something that is cultivated, it's created, right? And it takes time, maybe it takes guidance, but you can't wait. That purpose that falls from the sky is, I call it a Hollywood purpose. So it's the Hollywood figure, think of like a movie, that is walking and doing their regular life, and then all of a sudden some big moment happens and all of a sudden they're a superhero, or they're trying to save this, you know, damsel in distress, or like their purpose is like, it literally falls from the sky and they move into it. And all of us were just like walking around our life waiting for that moment, waiting for the sky to rip open and the supervillains to come flying out before we're like, okay, I know what I'm supposed to do now. And it's like, it's not going to happen that way. That's Hollywood. You can't just wait. It's not waiting for you to find it.
Right.
It's cultivated. It's created. And it takes what you said, that first step. You have to take that step to do it. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I get very excited about this kind of stuff.
No, me too. That's what I'm going to say. We could talk forever about this stuff.
I know. I love this stuff.
You keep, I think we just keep bouncing these ideas off of each other, and we could just keep going on either one of these topics we bring up.
It's good. It's good.
So what, if any, life-altering experiences did you have while studying to get a Master's of Divinity?
Oh, yeah. So for those who don't know, Master of Divinity in the theological world, you can get a doctorate, but doctorates usually go towards like teaching and professorship. A Master of Divinity is a four-year program, so it's almost as rigorous, but it's for the practicality. So it's more for like the guy in the church who's applying it to the general populace. So I chose that route because I'm a very people person. I like to move and navigate and wander with people. So I chose that path. Now, here's one thing I found in my studies is that, so we do a lot of, I do a lot of studying the Bible and reading other people's commentaries and then trying to apply it, is that the Bible is shallow enough that kids can play in it and deep enough that man can't even fathom. The Bible is the ocean. I mean, think the ocean, kids can play in it, and then it completely rips apart because of the depths and the pressure that, like, it's unsafe for us to go that deep. And so the Bible operates the same way, that it can speak at a surface level to some of the most simplistic ideas of love and sacrifice, but it also moves into territory that it's not exactly made for us. It transcends us. It's holier than us. And that's exactly what we need, because if I'm solely relying on something that's just as powerful as me to change my life, I'm just going to be a wheel turning. Like, change, transformation happens when an outside source that's stronger than me is able to shape me, right? And that's the power in the Bible. Think of it like lifting weights. If I'm just lifting what my body can lift on its own, I'm not going to get any stronger. But if I have a heavier force that's pulling against me and I have to break through that, that's where strength comes from. And that's what I really learned in my divinity, and really broke some barriers for me, is that the Bible operates on both fronts. It navigates both of those. And we have to be like sailors in an ocean where we're discovering about ourselves and about what it is and where people fit into it. Yeah. And we're trying to bring people deeper into deeper waters. And so that it completely takes over them and transforms them into something greater.
Wow. You're such a wonderful teacher, young man.
Oh, I appreciate it.
No, really, I'm so proud of you. You're pretty young, and while I'm listening to you and admiring the analogies you use and just your teaching gift, I'm also reflecting back to what you told me about your start in life, and it's just wonderful. It's amazing. Be encouraged.
Yeah, well, thank you. And that beginning of my life really helped shape that, because, like I said at the very beginning, is I had to make choices on my own. Life wasn't being handed to me. I could not wait for purpose to fall from the sky, or else I would have just been in this cycle. I maybe never have found Jesus if I would have just fell into that cycle. I had to make these steps. And as I've done it, I've been able to cultivate, be able to find my purpose that I believe God designed me for, but it took those steps.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. I'm just giving you a little alert.
Yeah.
I'm going to continue to use your analogy about the shallow water and the the deep
Please
ocean,
take that's a gift. Take it.
referred to the Bible.
Yeah.
I think that's a beautiful way to think of it. It's shallow enough for a kid to play in and deep enough to just kind of blow your mind.
Well, and let me give you another analogy. This has also helped me because a lot of people in this, and especially those who are not Christian or who aren't unsure about the Bible, they're like, I don't want to be restricted by the Bible. Like it holds me back from what I believe I'm supposed to do. And I say, okay, well, think of the Bible instead like a compass, and it's in the hands of a sailor. The man who is a slave to the compass has the seas are his boundary. He can go anywhere. But the man who doesn't have a compass is a slave to the shore. He has to stay close to the shore. And so by being a slave to the compass, you have the open seas to explore. But if you set that compass down, you're going to get lost. And so you have to stay close. You'll be a slave to the land. And so, you know, don't be afraid to be to submit yourself, because it is more powerful and it will break you free into grander waters.
Wonderful. So I know that you're an aspiring clinical therapist, and you've mentioned that a bit. And in some ways, it seems obvious, but nonetheless, please tell me what you see as the importance of marrying a master's degree of divinity with a master's degree in social work.
Yeah, so there's a lot of places I could take this. I'll take it this way because of our conversation, is that I believe in the power of the local church and the local body of Christ coming together. And part of our responsibility is we are garden planters in our community. So when I say garden planters or gardeners, I think of the Garden of Eden. So the Garden of Eden is a space of heaven. It's a place where heaven and earth come together. They overlap, where God and man can be in the same space together. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He created these spaces where man and God could be together. That's where the temple was. That's what the local church is. And now it's our job as those who have the Spirit of God in us to be these gardeners. These gardeners where we're taking people and we're taking God and we're crossing them into the same space. We're creating little gardens of Eden all over the world. And so I wanted to do that in a far more practical way of I don't believe that people are living God's design for them. The people who feel depressed, you know, depression is on a high, anxiety, recent study said that 77% of people, that's 3 out of 4. So if you're listening or you're watching this, and you're in a crowded space, maybe you're at the airport, maybe you're at the cafe, look around you. That means 3 out of 4 people in the room that you are in feel overwhelmed, anxious, or stuck. That's the majority of people feel that way. That's not how God designed us to be. And you know it. We know it. We all know it. We just don't know how to get out of it. And so I wanted to step into that space and say, hey, God has designed something for you, but you may not even know God or think you want God. So let's start over here first. Let's just like try to build ourselves out of it with healthy habits and taking those baby steps, because I think what people eventually see, oh, I was designed for something so much greater. I just needed to get unstuck first. And so this master social work clinical therapy is a way for me just to step into people's life and say, hey, let's just work on you right now then. And then we'll let God do the work behind the scenes until you're ready for him.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that one should do extraordinary work for ordinary tasks.
Ah, yes.
Down on that.
This is my favorite one. So I have in my book, A Story on Purpose, I have 5 principles, right? And we'll talk more about the book if you want later. But the second principle is doing the ordinary extraordinarily. So UCLA, which is a college university, had a coach named James Wooden. He was a college basketball coach. And he did this in the most excellent way. So he would bring in, he was a 10-time or 12-time national champion. He had this elite basketball program. And so all of these students, these high school students would get recruited. They'd be ready to play, ready to dunk, ready to dribble, ready to show off all of their skills to this like champion of a coach. And he would bring all of them in, freshmen, upperclassmen, everybody that made the team. He'd line them up and he'd say, okay, You're about to enter the most elite basketball program of your life. Many of you guys have been playing your entire life. You're ready to play. They're like all amped up. You say, okay, today we're going to learn how to tie your shoes. That's it. And it would blow these kids' mind because they've been tying their shoe their whole life. They're ready to dunk. They're ready to shoot. He said, and he would actually take their shoes off. He would show them how to smooth it around the ankle, how to smooth it around the heel, make sure it's tug all the way up. He'd show them how to place the shoe on properly, how to make it snug and tie it so it doesn't come loose. Why? Why did he do that? Because he knew if you can do these ordinary things extraordinarily, then you are already setting yourself up that a loose shoe might cost you a game-winning shot, that it might turn an ankle at the most inconvenient time, that it would feel uncomfortable and it would distract you, and that while every other team was trying to focus on the big moments or just trying to win, he was saying, let's start small. And if you can do these simple things over time, you can build your way up to something extraordinary. And this the same applies in our life, is that we constantly try to do the big thing, but it's the faithfulness in the small things that will actually be the stepping stones to the big things.
Right. Very good. Glad I asked you that question.
it's an excellent story. James Wooden has a lot written about him. That's my favorite of his stories though.
Okay. James Wooden. Okay. So now we are getting to your book.
Yeah. And I'm sorry. I think I said James Wooden. It's John Wooden. John Wooden. I just want to make that correction. I may have said James. I meant John Wooden.
Okay, John.
And I do talk about him in. Mess it up. I do talk about him in my book. So I do talk about that story in my book.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's one of the little nuggets in there.
Very good. So your book is called A Story on Purpose.
Yes. Yeah.
You outline 5 principles for personal transformation, which you referred to earlier. But can you give us a glimpse into these principles and share how they've played out in a role in your life?
Yeah. So I'll give you a quick overview of the 5, but I mean, we could spend literally half the day talking about them. So I'll just give a couple of pinpoints on them. Okay. So the first one is to remember the 3 Ds, to look at life through the 3D glasses. And that is direction, discipline, and development. So when you know where you're going, you know what you need to do to get there, and you will grow on the journey. But you have to start and go in that order. That's where purpose starts, is that you won't ever get to where you want to go if you don't know where you're going in the first place. Yeah. But you have to do things that others are not willing to do. That's discipline. If you want the life that other people are not living. And then trust that as you do that, you will develop, you will grow on the way. So that's the 3 Ds.
Okay.
So, and second one we've talked about, that's doing the ordinary things in extraordinary ways. That is starting small and simple, not feeling like, I'm going to work out. I'm going to go run a marathon today. It's like, whoa. How about you just like go for a walk and do that every day for a week? And then maybe go a mile the week after that. It's like start small and consistent and you'll build up over time.
Yeah.
Number 3 is to win the war in your mind, is that your mindset has a lot more to do with your actions than you think. Mm-hmm. That if we can find ways to eliminate the toxic thoughts that are plaguing us, then we can actually, if we can unlock that mindset, we can actually propel ourselves a lot quicker to success than we think. Principle number 4 is winning the day before the day even begins. So I talk about what I call the 5 a.m. cheat code, how to wake up earlier, optimize your day. A lot of people are like, I'm out. 5 a.m. Nope, you lost me here. I'm not going to do that. And it's not about
ding,
the time.
Ding, ding.
Yeah, it's not about the time. I definitely promote 5 a.m., but it's not about the time. It's about winning the day. It's about starting the day, not letting the day win you when it gets chaotic, but getting your most important tasks done early and starting what it's called the Keystone Habit. It's one habit, waking up early, that cascades into more habits that lead to the life that you want. And then principle number 5 is uncovering the why buried under your fear and recognizing that your fear is not a bad thing. We often, we demonize fear that it is, it's a thing to avoid at all costs. I'm actually the opposite. I say fear is what you want. because fear tells you you're doing something that is shaping you and growing you, that is outside of your comfort zone. And that if you lean into that fear a little tighter, that you will actually continue to grow towards the person you want to be. The trick is, and I give the analogy, is that fear will always be in the car. The key is never let him drive the car. Sometimes he'll be in the passenger seat. Sometimes you can stuff him in the trunk. As he's going to move throughout the car, the key is just to never allow him to drive the car.
Love it.
You must always be in control, and you keep him where you want him to be, but you can't get rid of him. Fear's always there. You want him there because he's helping you move to growth. And then I won't spoil it, but there's the secret sauce at the end, which is it is what brings all of it together into a life that actually matters.
Wonderful. Wow. Yeah, you've got us going. I'm sure people are going to want to go get that book. Remember, it's a story on purpose.
Yeah.
Wow, I got to tell you, that's another one that I'm pretty sure I'm going to use.
It's free. Take it.
The fear in the car one.
I want you to have that. That's good.
I like it because I like things that are realistic. I think that we went through a window. Especially, I'm going to say, in the church, where we just had unrealistic expectations. Don't be afraid. Don't do this. Don't do that. All these human things that God gave us, it's like, but don't do them. And it's like, there's confusion that causes us to be paralyzed because we're like, how do I be this Superman when I have all this humanness?
And that's one of the beauties of both studying the Bible and studying the human condition, is bringing those two worlds together, because you're making a huge point that anger, anxiety, stress, fear, these are all human emotions and human experiences that God gave you. Yes. They are gifts. Like, being angry is a gift. Yes. Letting it get out of control, that's where it controls us. We have to control our anger, not let it control us. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that goes with anxiety. Like, we in the church, we've done a really bad job of being scared of talking about anxiety. Yeah. So what we do at our church is we hit it head on. We did a 5-part series last month on anxiety and depression, and saying, like, these are natural emotions and feelings, but you can't let them control you. You need to navigate them in the right way. And that really is what spurred my book, is I had a lot of people sitting on my couch saying, feel like my life doesn't have purpose. I don't have meaning. I feel overwhelmed. It's like that. There's something so much greater for your life. And it's not, if you just take these small steps, you can actually reach them.
That's good. And I'm so glad that it just seems more and more we're allowing people to be people. God put us in this natural physical experience. I do believe there's room where he puts his super on our natural.
Yeah.
That's not where we live every day. That's a mountaintop experience. That's a miracle type experience. I believe those things happen. But our day to day being wrapped in this physical body, giving ourselves permission to be the human beings God created us to be, is so needed. And I'm thankful that I'm seeing it being addressed more and more, so that I can really help people. And that's one of the goals of my show. I say, I want us to be a bridge to show people how you got from point A to point Z, because we've made the mistake for so long of saying, hey, look at me, I made it to Z, but you're not sharing with people how you got there. So they think you were born there.
Yeah.
Nobody's born at Z.
Yeah. Even Jesus. I mean, even the Son of God was born in a manger. And if anybody can show you, I mean, Jesus, he wept when his friend died. He was angry and flipped over tables. He had an anxiety attack in the garden as he was sweating blood and crying out to his friends. I mean, Jesus was the most human of us all. But he was able, he also had his mountaintop moments, right? Obviously, being the Son of God, his were a lot grander, but the things that he experienced, he has promised us. Like, his spirit is now in us, and we have that same power to do the things that he did. And so I love what you said, like, he gives us the super in our natural, but it's more often that we're just the natural and we have to do something with that. That's good.
And sometimes that mountaintop experience is in this area in my life, I made it to Z. That doesn't mean you made it to Z in every area.
Exactly.
You might be P or D or H somewhere in different areas, but in this area of my life, I made it to Z. So the mountaintop experience is, look, I made it, but not just look, I made it. Look, I made it. Let me help you get here in this area.
Yep. Yeah.
And then you made it to Z in a different area where I'm still at D. And it's like, wow, let me celebrate that you made it there. But now grab my hand and walk me over to Z. And that's the mountaintop experience when you have, let's say, as you mentioned earlier, cultivated something around purpose. And now a healthy person does something with it. A confident person wants to help someone else. When you don't want to help others, that's the biggest tell-all of your unhealthy places.
Yeah.
Because it's actually exposing your deficits. I've always found that truly confident people, they're not worried about if you surpass them. They're just being them, the good, bad, and ugly of it.
Yeah, and it's just like, here's who I am.
Yeah. And where they've had success, they actually are eager to share because that success, that confidence has come with a price. And when you get a hold of something like that, you can't just keep it to yourself.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah, comparing my beginning with somebody else's middle. It's like, I'm here, they're there, and I can't compare us. We're in two different places, but what can I do to get myself there? And a lot of that's just asking them. And a good person, I call it stealing other people's cheat codes, is I'll call successful authors, successful whatever that I want to be, and I'll call them up and I'll say, hey, I'll be honest, I'm just calling for your cheat codes. Like, what did you learn that I can start doing now to help me get to where you are? And that's what we need to be doing in all aspects, from my parenting to my being a husband. I mean, all of it. I call people and say, give me your cheat codes. Help me get to where you are.
That's great. So, and then I think people won't feel insecure if they realize they actually have made it to Z in some point in their life, some area of their life. And sometimes we give more praise to certain things and we belittle other things, like it's not as great or not as grand. But we basically need that area where the person who doesn't even know they have this great thing to offer has already made it to Z, because I didn't make it to Z in that area. And it can be in a natural area, like you've learned how to, I don't know, study well.
Absolutely.
We give praise to things or gifts where it's in the limelight, but it's like the Bible says, the hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. And the foot can't say to the head, I have no need of you. We have all of those parts.
Yeah, the eyes and the ears. I always use the analogy of the eyes and the ears. Like, everybody loves the eyes. Everybody hates the ears. Like, nobody looks longingly into someone's ear. And if they do, you don't have anything to do with that person, right? You're not the apple of my ear, right? It's all the eyes. And it'd be natural for the ear to be jealous of the eye. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things the ears can't do that the eyes can't. And I need my ears just as much as I need my eyes, just for something different. And so, yeah, it's knowing where you are and recognizing, what do I have to offer? And it may not be what they can, but I have my own thing.
Yeah, we have our own lane, our own race that's given to us. So I want to ask you a question that I ask all of my guests.
And great.
What final gem, and man, a lot have been shared on this show today, on this episode, but what final gem, which one, if everyone forgets this whole conversation, everybody hold on to this one though. This is like a major key.
Yeah. It would be it would be this. Don't sacrifice for easy comfort for long-term gain. So don't compromise. So like you will find in almost every aspect of your life, the easy choice that will lean into comfort or the hard choice that will lean into what you ultimately want. And it is easy. It's going to be so easy over time to say like, I just want what's comfortable now. And that might be saying binge watching TV or eating the extra candy or snapping at my kids whenever I'm frustrated or scrolling social media instead of opening up God's word and reading it. It's sacrificing what I ultimately want for the yes and the comfort right now. And so don't do that. Find multiple places in your life where you can say no today so you can say yes later.
Very, very good. Very good.
Yeah, it's good. I love this. This has been a great conversation.
It's a wonderful conversation, and thank you for being a guest. And we are at that point where we're at the end of our interview, and I just want to give you an opportunity to share any information that you want the audience to have about you in terms of how they can get a hold of your book, how they can get in touch with you for coaching or anything that you offer. What would you like to share? And by the way, we'll put it in our show notes as well.
That's great. Thank you so much for that space. So you can find more about me at my website. It's just my name, Peyton Minz. I shortened it for people, MINZ.com. So okay. PeytonMinz.com. And I have one book out right now, A Story on Purpose. You can find it on the website. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it other places books are sold. It's just a story, or you can go to astoryonpurpose.com. And then some exciting news for your listeners is you're the very first audience I've told that I actually have a workbook that is going to be coming out here in about a month. And it's a workbook on purpose. And it's taking all of this content that we've been talking about that's in the book. And it's very practical. There's a reflection questions. It guides you through it. There's exercises. And it's a lot more hands-on. And so I've partnered with my buddy who has a coaching firm. And we're offering that. And then you can also tag on to some personal one-on-one coaching to be accountable and to walk through that with somebody, me or some other coaches that we have. And so that's coming soon. So if you want to follow along in that journey, if you go to my website, you can sign up for my newsletter. You can just follow, you know, me on all the different social platforms and you'll hear all about it then.
That is wonderful. And it is exciting. And I think it's going to be really good stuff because of this conversation. You've shared so many wonderful things. So I can only imagine if you had more time and you were literally coaching and all the other things that we found in your books. So I'm just going to say thanks again, Peyton. It has been such a delight to have you on.
It has.
Not just informative, but fun.
Yes.
I love your energy and your positivity. And I hope all the best for you and yours and the things that you're doing out there. So
thank you, Pamela.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, friends, thanks for joining me for another episode of the Envision Together Going to Our Next Level of Best podcast. I hope today's topic inspired you to envision a brighter future getting to your next level of best and to urge others to reach theirs as well. If you are encouraged by today's episode, subscribe and share it with your family and friends. Also, please write a review. It will help me to reach a wider audience with a message of hope and inspiration. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and share your thoughts about today's episode. Until next time, envision the future you want to see.